Hey everyone, this is Mike at West Coast Project. Thanks for listening to episode 309 here of Halt and Catch Fire. Hey, the sound quality on this first part of the episode is really poor. We had some struggles with transferring the audio files back and forth, but it's only for the first minute or two, so please hang in there and it gets better really quickly. Thanks again. All right, brilliant. Michelle, you want to talk about the internet now? On Halt and Catch Fire on West Coast Project?
Yeah. Let's talk about it there since I can't seem to manage it in real life.
All right, so we're here to do Halt and Catch Fire, Michelle 309 NIM on West Coast Project. Welcome back to your voice.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a challenge. Unbelievable.
Well, Michelle, the show's been renewed. Sorry, I had a little glitch there. They acted like Mutiny crashed. Well, Mutiny did crash.
So then where did Donna get that money?
Well, I don't think she buys in with money. I think you earn it with your talent. She's sharp. You know, she was being groomed to be like Diane, and I think she's proving all through this that she's a super capable businesswoman. Diane probably liked her a lot. She's probably really good at it. She probably transferred her skills with people and just being a good executive over to the investment industry versus the computer industry.
I just wasn't sure how that worked. For some reason, I thought that the people who were doing this venture capitalist stuff were people who had the money. Kind of like Shark Tank is how I pictured it, as silly as that may sound, that they were investing, you know, their money or their collective money. So I just had a different idea.
If you had a millionaire that was a kind of an idiot that just had a bunch of money that they inherited or something, you wouldn't make them a partner. They have to add value to the company, to running the company.
Yeah, absolutely. But I just would have thought, particularly with the name on the wall, that she would have had to have kind of, you know, that she would have to be investing some of her stuff.
But like I said, that's just... Maybe she worked for Diane for 3 years as a underling and made a bunch of money because she was really good at it. And Diane said, great, you're a partner for 500 grand and your skills, I'll make you a partner. Invest.
Okay.
Through 4 years, a lot can happen.
Sure.
So what else here? She gets the pen. Boz says, Don Emerson, senior partner. He's like kind of jokingly making fun of how she's advanced. And he's come in from the San Juan Islands with his boat.
Yep.
Which is like right off the California coast. He's goofing around with that boat and like Angel Island under the Golden Gate Bridge. He's having fun sailing around, probably short. So it's a pretty small little boat. So he's not going into the ocean or across the ocean. And he asked Donna about Comdex.
Yeah, if she's going to go.
And she says, nope, it's a circus, more trouble than it's worth, which is really how Comdex is viewed nowadays.
Is it?
Probably back then it was starting to be, although 1990 was a long time ago, and 26 years ago from today. But, I mean, people started to view it as like, it's a big exhibition. You don't really do much business there. And I think it's really viewed that way now.
It'll be interesting, though, to see it.
So he gives her the wild turkey and says, respect the dirty bird.
That's what he says.
The whiskey.
Yeah.
And Donna boots up her PC to Microsoft Windows 3, 1990, so we get the time reference.
Yep. We know how much time's passed, which is cool. I'm really glad they're doing that for us here.
So we see what Joe's up to. He's on multiple TV screens with sports and stock prices.
Yep.
He's either trading, day trading, or betting on sports or doing whatever he's doing. But whatever he's doing it on his own, kind of secluded off into his own room. He's not around other people.
Yeah, and it was dark. Did you notice the darkness in this episode? There was a lot of dark, and particularly around Joe. Everything about him was like muted and dark. Except when he was with Cameron. So I kind of like that. I thought that was really good little clues that they were giving us.
He's making the Joe McMillan decisions, really fast decisions. Pass, pass, pass on that. What's up with this one? Okay, pass, pass. He's like, he doesn't fuck around with his decisions like he never really has.
Right.
So we go from him to Donna meeting some guy at a bar about financing some deal. And Gordon comes up, and Donna gets introduced to Gordon like she doesn't know him.
Yeah.
And Gordon Clark meet Donna Emerson. And they talk to each other, and they refer to the weight being lifted off them a little bit kind of mean, semi-mean at the end of that.
I think they were just messing with the guy who introduced them, because as soon as he walked away, they were both kind of giggling about it. They were smirking. I really think they were just trying to make that guy uncomfortable because he didn't know that, of course, they were, you know, ex-spouses.
Then, yeah, they do kind of joke around. She's taking her dad's name, her name, I guess.
That was kind of mean of Gordon. Gordon got a couple little punches in there. He said, couldn't wait to get rid of my name or something like that. And she's like, well, Emerson is more syllables. And I mean, she does her little Donna thing about it. And he goes, well yeah, your husband's name or your father's name. Kind of.
Well,
like,
there's nothing wrong with Clark, but if you're divorced, I could see going back to your maiden name.
Yeah, I mean, people don't do that so much when they have children, unless they remarry, because you have the same name as your children.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Well, they're divorced. They're sharing custody of the kids. And it looks like they're overall friendly, kind of not. It's not like they hate crossing paths and they have to have an intermediary drop off the kids. And, you know, they're pretty friendly.
Sure.
So, Joe, back to Joe. It's the day end of TV, Michelle. We see the national anthem like televisions used to do at the end of, like, 12:05 a.m. in the morning.
Oh, I know. Yeah, that was a little callback there.
And Donna calls him. We find out she's going to be using Joe here just to get Cameron. But she asks about Comdex. Well, Cameron will be there. And I want to send – or she knows Cameron will be there and wants to send you there with a memo. She wants to get word to Cameron about coming and meeting with her.
Doesn't that seem kind of odd, like an odd way to go about it?
Well, I mean, she and Cameron are on the outs. Cameron probably won't take her call. You know, she's probably been trying to reach Cameron, and I don't know, maybe not successfully.
No, she hadn't, because remember they pointed that out a little bit later on, that she had not ever made an attempt, that she thought about it, but she never actually made the attempt. But I just thought it was kind of odd that she would go with Joe. I mean, she could go with anybody, Gordon or Lev or anybody, to if you just wanted to get something through. But it was kind of definitely made it an interesting situation that she decided to go with Joe, and Joe wasn't happy to hear from Donna.
Well, Joe and Cameron have the magic power with each other. That's why. Joe's the most important person to Cameron.
Right.
Yeah, he says, why are you calling me and not her? I can't help you, and just kind of hangs up on her.
Well, yeah, and he says, you shouldn't have this number. And I didn't know that we ended that, you know, I don't know what happened, because I don't remember them ending that with that much disdain for one another.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
I can't imagine if you hadn't talked to somebody in, you know, in 4 years and you call them up. I mean, unless something specific had happened between those two, because Gordon was still good with Joe. So that was when Gordon and Donna were still together. I didn't notice anything like major going on between Donna and Joe. And then he's just suddenly saying, you shouldn't have this number. That just seems odd, because I mean, Gordon would have the number. And if Gordon would have the number, wouldn't you expect Donna? I don't know. I just thought it was kind of odd. And I wondered if I missed something about their interaction.
Well, everybody hangs up on Donna, even Gordon, when he's married to her. So this takes us right up to the credits. This is actually a long stretch of plot before the credits.
Yeah.
And we come back. It's Comdex Fall of 1990 in Las Vegas. Cameron Rendon is there with her dark hair now, looking like the normal girl. Mackenzie Davis.
Yeah, she looked good. But it was Camden Howe Rendon.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Or Reardon. Yeah, Mrs. Howe Reardon. So they finally decided on that, I guess.
Is it Reardon or Rendon? Trent, it's Rendon, I think.
Is it Rendon? Okay. I put Reardon, but okay.
So even a guy at the show is surprised that she looks that way. I expected the girl in the space bike.
Yeah.
And Cameron says, we're different people. Now that's different because Cameron is the girl in the space bike in the first other 26 episodes before this.
Yeah, you're right.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. And he sends her to her booth, and they set up Space Bike 4, the booth that she has at Comdex. And the model there, Michelle Tracy, her name is Tracy, yep. I thought was just a total early version of Cameron, like Cameron from the past.
Yep.
The model looked just like her. And she's having a bean and cheese burrito for lunch. And it's because we've been in Tokyo for 4 years. I guess they don't get too many bean and cheese burritos.
Evidently not, yeah.
So all this is helping us remind us of the time that's gone by.
Right.
All right, Gordon's on TV dating, video dating. He has his videotape of himself and talks about himself. Now, wasn't this cringeworthy watching Gordon describe himself on this video?
That was so bad. And then as it kind of pans away from everything he's saying, which he's really trying to sell himself, and it's just, yeah, it's one of those things my daughters call secondhand embarrassment. Like, you're embarrassed to even watch it. You're embarrassed to see it. But then we find out that it's Joni actually watching it and mocking him.
Right, that's what I said. It's not online. It's an actual tape that you get and you take home, and then they probably keep a copy and they play it for people that come in, literally come in and watch you on the screen. It's like not online. It's a physical tape.
Right, a VHS tape, yeah.
Yeah, so Gordon says, I'm a seeker and a giver. I own part of NSFNet, and I'm into camping and cooking, and he just sounds like a total schnerd.
Okay, but what about that camping thing? He goes, I like camping. Then he goes, I really like camping. I think it was going back to that falling out that he had with Donna. Remember, we were talking about it when she said she never liked camping, and you were like, well, I don't think it was really about the camping thing, and I really felt like it was about the camping and that she had lied to him about the camping. And then
you think that's why they're divorced now?
Because she didn't like camping, yep.
All right.
No, because she had misled him that whole time into thinking she did. And I think that was just like, for whatever reason, that was Gordon's Achilles. And he just really disliked that.
You'd have to be a ding-a-ling of a guy to not notice that your partner doesn't like something you've been doing for 8 years or 12 years or whatever. Like, right. It looks like you kind of don't really like this. Like, she couldn't have fooled him that long without him having some observing skills to see that she's not really that into it.
Well, sure. I mean, even when they were getting ready to go camping, she didn't look excited about it at all. But he was not very clued in. And he's not very clued in here either. We see that. I mean, he's just as likable as they make him, he's not very in touch.
Joni makes fun of this video, calls it his screaming to get laid video. I like this actor, Joni, as an older kid, 14-year-old kid. Catherine Newton is her name. I don't know. I thought she was really good at being this, like, troublesome, pain-in-the-ass 14-year-old.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely played the part well, but I didn't particularly like the part.
So she's going to a party at a girl named Jennifer's. No, is this Jennifer's Diane's kid?
Yeah, the one that they ended up fighting, and that's how they met Diane to begin with. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
All right, so back at Comdex, Cameron's signing autographs of her game and listening to whack ideas for other games. And Joe steps up and drops the Mutiny Parallax disc right in front of her and asks her to sign it. And she just comes alive, as she always does, when Joe pops up in front of her.
Yeah, she did that great. You know, she had, like, the deadpan eyes as she was going through the motions of what she has to do in the parts that we know she doesn't really like about her role, which is the interaction with people and stuff like that, until Joe comes up. And then she looks at him for a minute, and she's stunned, and then her eyes just sparkle.
She tells him all about Japan and how it's sometimes you feel alien there, like just like in space flight too. And them talking about these scenes and their past and stuff was don't know, it seemed like time really got accelerated. Just like when I think back about the 80s, it's like seems like not too long ago, but it really was a really long, pretty long time ago. And it seems right. like it went by really fast to get from what it was then to where we are now.
Yeah.
So she asked Joe what he's doing, and he just says consulting. He's super vague about what he's up to. And he looks around the Comdex booths and says, a lot changes, but a lot also stays the same. What should I see here? And Cameron gives him the lowdown on the show. It says, skip all the laptops. They're the same. The Microsoft booth is blah. But the interesting stuff is she says Philips has a recordable CD.
Yeah.
And Adobe has a new product called Photoshop.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool when CDs could be recorded upon. Because it's like, wow, that's amazing. Look at all that. That they hold so much data. And now you can record over them. Like you can't, not like just buying a music CD and that's it. You can record on it. Like you could record on a cassette tape.
Well, sure. You can download your music. I mean, I don't know if you actually could. You probably couldn't at that point. But and put it on a CD. It was the coolest thing ever.
Well, you could copy, you could make like essentially a mixtape. You could copy another person's CD.
Yeah.
That's probably the big thing. And Philips was the big company, the best CD manufacturer back then. I remember that.
Do you remember? I didn't remember that, but that's interesting.
So Joe says, great to see you. And yeah, they're sharing some pretty mutual glowing there, mutual glows between each other.
Yeah.
So we get to see the old printer guys, Michelle. Now they have a new product called the Sprinter.
They've really advanced, haven't they?
They look exactly the frickin' same. And same clothes, as even as 79, 78, whatever. Same hair, facial hair.
Poor guys.
Total fail. I mean,
yeah. Could they really be doing that for this long? Because this is like that many years later, and they haven't gotten any better at all?
Yeah, they have no signs of success. I mean, they have a crappy, tired-looking, plain little simple booth. Nobody in it. The guy can't even light his lighter. Like, bam, look how this works. This is what happens. Bam, and he tries to light the lighter like four times.
Yeah. That was so sad. It was sad. And it was kind of mean, right? I think we see that Joe and Cameron together, they got like a little mean streak in them that they kind of fuel with each other.
I think it shows that. And well, it's real. There are people that are really like that, show up the same year after year. They don't change and they, you know, they just survive and they don't do anything hard or challenging and they just stay the same.
Yeah.
And I also think it emphasized how little has changed for those two dudes and yet how so much has changed for Cameron and Joe.
Okay, that's a really good point. Okay. Yeah, I kind of like that take on it.
It's only been, you know, it's only been the span of, say, 10 years, 8 years, whatever. It's not that much time, but so look how much different they both are. So then Gordon's date shows up in the next scene. And I guess Gordon's changed, too. His Michelle is pretty funny, I thought, at the door. She's all permed up and has the furry rabbit-type sweater.
Yeah.
A sweater pelt, rabbit pelt sweater.
And his apron. Oh, my gosh. You know, he says it's like a it's written in binary code for Kiss the Cook. Can you be a bigger geek than that? Is there any possible way?
The only more possible way would be if it literally said Kiss the Cook in letters.
Okay.
You probably have an apron like that, don't you?
I actually do not, but that was so funny. I mean, I had to pause the TV for a minute and just take that in. I had to soak in that binary code for Kiss the Cook. I mean, if that didn't encompass Gordon in this last couple episodes, I don't know what did.
So this girl, Michelle, actually works for Gordon. He's dating a subordinate.
Yep.
And she tries to bond with Joni to kind of get on Gordon's good side and Joni's good side. And that was funny. Although Joni was pretty mean to her.
Yeah, she was mean and not just mean and standoffish or whatever, but she was crude and kind of getting away with that at 14. I thought that was kind of icky and maybe, I don't know, because I really liked how they were parenting, but I didn't like the result of it.
Well, Joni's protecting Donna. Joni's fending off this woman who's stepping into Donna's role with her dad.
Yeah, and I could see that, and that was kind of touching, and maybe that's what they're trying to show us, is how hard that kind of divorce thing is on even kids that age. But she was just awful.
Yeah, because later on they show Gordon and Joni by themselves, and she's kind of the sweet little daughter again. They're watching TV and eating cereal.
They show it more than once with that, and they seem to really have a decent connection and everything Gordon and Joni do. But you can see her doing the trying to manipulate between her mom and her dad, which is real common in kids, divorced or not, divorced parents or not. But they seem to be parenting so well for her to be so manipulative, so just ugly manipulative. So I just hope that ends up working out okay for her, for Joni, in the long run.
Well, she's just clumsily protecting Donna. Standing in for Donna when she's not there to stand in for herself.
I suppose, but, you know, making that, like, crude reference to her shirt. I mean, she's just trying to be shocking and crude. And she does it throughout this whole dinner thing.
It's her Shonen boy knife equals dick shirt. Michelle tries to compliment her cool shirt. And she says, oh, it's Shonen. That means boy knife. And that means a boy's dick. And Gordon bails out Michelle by offering her a drink, and she's like, right away accepts it, like, thank God.
Yeah.
So Joe and Cameron continue their odyssey back at Comdex, and she dumps out all her Comdex swag, and Joe reveals that the show has been overwhelming, and she shows him this lighter Nim game, this game of Nim with all the lighters. And they have a pretty interesting conversation here. She says, I knew what I was doing when we worked together. Mutiny screwed up all on its own. No help from you. She's kind of apologizing to Joe, or letting him off the hook.
Right.
And she says, Gordon made his own bed. It's sad about Ryan. Tom and I were leaving for Japan right when we heard. And I was mad at you and at him and at myself for things I never said to him until there was nothing anyone could have done for him. And even you couldn't have done anything for him, Joe. You're not that powerful. And she tells him to be sad because it's healthy. Stop blaming yourself. Just be sad.
Right. And I thought that was some pretty good advice.
Yeah, she's grown. She's not the punky Cameron anymore.
Right.
So she beats him at the game a couple times. And I thought that made her the Zen master or Zen mistress for a moment here. Like, she's become kind of the Zen person that Boz was always had always represented in this show.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, too. And the way she was saying it, too, she's like, you know, you lose. And then later on, she's like, you know, I win. I don't know. There was definitely deeper meaning, I think.
Yeah, there's that winning and not winning. Because later on, somebody else talks Boz, I think, and her at the boat, talk about not being able to win, but just playing the game.
Yes.
We had that reference a couple episodes ago about all you can do is play the game.
Right. Right. There is no winning. Before it was you just get to keep playing. And then this time it was, you know, there is no winning. So I thought that was like a real same message, but a subtle shift in it. You get to continue before, and she was really happy with that. But now this time it was more like there is no actual win. And it didn't seem like it was quite as happy to me.
Yeah, maybe. I kind of took it as the same thing. You don't have to win. You just the pleasure of living is in playing the game.
Yeah, but see, I kind of related it, and of course I'm going to because that's what I do, to her relationship with Tom. Because, you know, you just get to keep playing. And then these episodes was more like there is no winning when she was talking about it. There's no, you know, I really liked, like I was complaining about episode 9, episode 10, I really liked again. So
well, she gives Joe some good advice and some encouragement, I think, that don't deprive the world of what you do. Just as, well, what is it that I do? And she says, it's so hard to bring about change. You bring people together by creating change. And I think that's really great. And that is what Joe does. He causes a lot of ruckus and stormy situations, but he brings people together because he's disruptive and introduces new ideas and hard changes that made, you know, people think about things differently that ultimately resulted in a lot of good happening.
And Joe is hanging on to her words here. And we don't see that a lot with Joe and people, or we certainly didn't before. But he hears her. And I think it's really having a big impact on Joe. Because we've seen Joe before. I mean, he's eating takeout as the TV's going off the air at night. And he's alone. And he's working at home. And he's like this recluse in this sad, dark house/office, lonely, and then he's with her, and it's just like the complete opposite.
Yeah, like he's eaten that Chinese food 5,000 times in a row, probably.
Yeah.
Every night, that's his routine.
Right, at midnight, yeah.
So she says, Cameron says, come to my Atari party with me and get drunk, and Joe says, I'm not really dressed for that kind of thing, but okay. Puts on his I Wear My Sunglasses at Night sunglasses.
Right.
Was that when that song came out, do you think, 1990?
I don't know, maybe.
Probably.
Yeah, I would guess.
All right, so Gordon's on his date now, and Michelle and Joni are, Joni's part of the date, I guess, because she's stuck there. He won't let her go to some party.
Yeah, she can't go because Diane's out of town. Remember, Donna let that slip that she couldn't have Joni because Diane was out of town. And because Diane's out of town, he's not going to let her go to Jennifer's party when there's no adults there. And so Joni is just not happy with the whole situation, and she's making it known.
So Michelle's kind of making fun of Gordon now behind his back with Joni.
Yeah, she's trying to gain favor with Joni, I think.
What was that hand signal to the mouth, Michelle? Some sort of suicide by gun thing or blowjob thing or what?
No, it's a shoot yourself in the mouth. He's driving me crazy with this babble so much that I want to kill myself, kind of.
All right. So the phone rings. Joni grabs it and says, it's for me. My mom, she again puts like, my mom's better than you. My mom has her own venture capital company and messenger service.
Right.
I like you, and you're just Michelle.
Right.
And she says into the phone, Dad won't let me go to the party. And Michelle, how many times has Donna called into her family missing events from afar like this? She's always away from the events at home that she kind of misses out on.
Yeah, always.
She kind of jealously asks if that Michelle woman?
Right, because she had met her when Gordon came up to her at the beginning and was introduced to her. He was actually there with Michelle at that point, too. Yeah, Donna didn't like it.
So Joni says, Bingorama, she works for Dad. Like, so that's how we find out she's one of Gordon's employees.
Right.
It's almost as if they both resent him being with Michelle and their family being compromised. I don't know. Maybe families never get completely free from divorce and the pain of divorce.
Well, certainly not. Not with children there, because the children are going to have that memory of the family together. So I think that certainly keeping that in it would make it where Joni can't possibly look at it any other way. I wasn't shocked by the way Joni looked at it.
Donna sounds jealous. Like, where did you learn to make pasta? You're making pasta? Why didn't you learn to make pasta when you were with me? She sounds
exactly.
Kind of jealous she's missing out.
Exactly.
So, Michelle, what do you think happened to them? Like, who's zooming who here? Who divorced whom?
If I were guessing, because I actually thought about that, if I were guessing, I would guess that Donna divorced Gordon, but I would also guess that he didn't give her much option.
Or didn't try to fight very hard to change her mind.
I don't think he wanted the marriage anymore. or didn't have enough thought into it. So
I think he did what guys do. He took it all for granted until the woman spoke up and said, this is not how I want it to go, and put her foot down. And then he just kind of accepted it. Guys do that. Guys don't put their foot down. And Cameron seems like a go with the flow kind of guy, at least up to this point.
Cameron?
Or Gordon.
Gordon. So you think what then? I'm sorry, I don't know if I follow
Gordon's
what you're saying.
Gordon's kind of drifting along, like, okay, this is a, you know, like, I don't catch any of the clues. He hung up on her, like we talked about last episode. Didn't catch any of the clues, and then she's like, oh, look, this dude, this isn't working out. I'm going to change. And women are brave enough to make that change, and guys drift through it, and they don't change. They don't take the steps till they're forced upon them, and then they realize. And I think he just kind of drifted along, and he accepts the fact that Donna probably divorced him. I think Donna took the steps to make the divorce.
I think so, too. But I think it was because Gordon kind of – we saw Gordon detach from Donna after that weekend that they had together when she made the "I never really liked camping anyway." We saw him just disconnect from her, and we never saw them reconnect, never. And – I think Donna got fed up with his disconnect and did something about it. And I don't think Gordon maybe, I don't even know if he realized what he did, but he forced her hand, sort of. I mean, who would live with that?
So Michelle shares with Joni, my parents got divorced when I was little too, and I know it stinks. So it's common between more people than just Joni. It's not that unique of a situation. And I don't know what the divorce rates were in like 1980s and 90s, but they were probably growing more and more and more until they got to where they are now, where half of everybody gets divorced.
Right.
Or more than half. Because, you know, if you go back in time, very few people got divorced.
Right.
If you go back far enough. All right. So Cameron and Joe now back at Comdex, they're at a room party, just like the one that they had back in 1983 or whatever. And he talks about a voice recognition project, and they see this other guy, and they give him a gift of like an ergonomically approved Cisco wrist protector.
I don't even know what that was, but they were being mean again, right?
I mean, it's the thing you put in front of your keyboard so that when your wrist set on it, they are.
Oh, okay.
But it looked like a floppy, stupid gift. I mean, it was definitely a joke on the guy.
Right.
Because it was a swag they picked up somewhere at the Comdex show.
Yeah, they're kind of mean again. They get together and they kind of have a little fun at other people's expense, at least.
So Joe goes for refills of their drinks, and Cameron continues to dance until she sees Donna. Donna shows up at this room party.
Let me tell you, let me just stop right there just for 1 second. All I can think when they're out there dancing, all I can think is, I wonder if she dances like that with Tom.
Of course not.
Right. I know she doesn't. And something about that made me really sad.
I know. You're sad about Tom. Tom's a schmo.
She married him.
She married a schmo. So
she. But she.
All she can't win. All she can do is play. That's all that Tom is ever going to be to her. Just another drudgery that she puts up with every day.
But that's even worse, though, right?
Well, so
I mean,
what?
She went to him. She went to him. I don't know.
You don't think people have marriages like that?
Well, sure I do. But she went to him. She reconnected with him once he had severed everything. She got that started again with Tom. And it's just sad.
She's kind of using Tom to be a comfort to whatever she needs that gives her comfort. But she's not in love with the guy.
But that's sad, right?
Well, okay. It's sad. So what?
Well, that's all I was saying. It was sad.
Do you think it's sad, Michelle?
I think it's a little sad.
So Cameron comes up. What are you doing? Or Donna comes up. What are you doing here? Donna says, I came to see you. Have lunch with me tomorrow. It's been 4 years. And Cameron says, we don't need to do anything. And Donna says, let's fix it. I want to fix it. So I think Donna has always been kind of, she screwed it up. She wants to fix it. She's got some good left in her. And Cameron just says, nope, I don't want to fix it. And she and Joe leave Donna in the room.
Yeah, Donna wants to fix a lot, it seems like, in these last couple episodes. But the way she was going about it, I don't know.
Well, we see she's about to bring a machine gun into that CERN meeting in Switzerland at the end of all this, so we'll see how that turns out.
Well, I don't know
if that's
going to
fix a number of things. Anyway, they leave her, Joe and Cameron leave, and just she doesn't accept Donna's apology.
Right.
All right, so Gordon, Michelle and Joni are at dinner, and she's now a vegetarian.
Yeah.
Cows are decapitated, and in that process, there's E. coli ridden in all the meat left behind.
Yeah.
Because when they're murdered, Michelle, their shit goes into everything.
That's what she said. Yeah.
And Gordon counters with, yeah, and also I heard there's cow piss in milk.
Yeah, detectable levels of cow. I know. Yeah. And she gets up and dumps her food and gets a bowl of cereal. I mean, just so rude. Like, Gordon's taking this time. He's homemade pasta, and she dumps it. I don't know.
Well, that's when he makes a comment about the cow piss in the milk. Like, you can't get away with it by having cereal, baby, because there's cow piss in there.
Right.
And then Michelle chips in and says, eggs are sad. I think eggs are sad. Joni says, I'm 14, not 5.
Right.
And so Gordon gets rid of her, sends her away. This is a pretty tough date for Gordon.
And it's just about to get worse.
It's tough for all of them, I guess. Tough for Joni, tough for Michelle, too.
Yeah. I mean, I think Michelle did her best until she just couldn't do it anymore.
She's a pretty good sport. She says, I can hardly taste the shit that's in your spaghetti.
That was funny.
Yeah, but she's a good sport.
But then it wasn't funny anymore when Joni left the room and put that other tape in. Now, was that Michelle?
No.
That wasn't Michelle. That was another girl.
She's playing the competition. She's playing Michelle's competition.
Okay.
And she's kind of laughing.
Sure. Yeah.
Michelle's a good sport, though. She leaves and hugs Gordon. And
No, Michelle wasn't a good sport. Well, I mean, she was an okay sport, but Michelle was, once that tape went in, that was the end of it. Gordon goes in for like a kiss, and Michelle does the hug, pat the back, see you at work, dude.
Yeah, but what else can she do?
Well, that was like the last straw, I think, to her.
Well, I mean, she leaves Grace. She doesn't storm out like, fuck this. This is the worst date ever.
No, she didn't do that.
When Gordon's alone with Joni, though, Joni comes, you know, she comes back to earth a little bit and says, look, you work for Mom and now Michelle works for you. You could do better. So she could have said this in a nicer way, like after, without all these machinations about being a, you know, screwing your video to get laid and all this. She didn't have to be that mean and obvious about it, but this was her message. You could do better.
Yeah. And she said, because you did once, of course, meaning her mom, which just goes to show that everything we've just seen, other than her being angry about the party, was just her being hurt.
So Joe and Cameron are on the rooftop now at this house party. And, I guess Cameron asks, why does she care so much? And Joe says, she called me to bring you an idea. So Joe reveals that I'm the one that was supposed to get you into the meeting to see the idea that Donna has.
Right.
And Cameron says, that's why you're here? And Joe says, no, I told her to bring it to you herself. Come on, you can trust me. So I guess that means that Joe went to see Cameron himself, too. He's not just he doesn't know he's being used as a messenger, or he knows he's being used as a messenger, but he also wants himself. He wants to see Cameron, too.
Well, he wasn't being used as a messenger. He didn't take the idea there at all. If you'll remember, it was still laying on his fax machine when he got back home. It had not been touched. He didn't bring it to her. He just found out she was there and wanted to go.
Right, but he wants to go.
Just to see her.
Yeah.
That's all. Right. Yeah.
So then this roof scene was very almost representative of memories of Ryan, I thought. They're up on the roof.
Oh, yeah.
They open a bottle, and he fires the cork over the edge, and they drink and look around Las Vegas. And they talk a little bit more. Jill says, I figured it out, the Nimsum game. And Cameron says, it's just a trick. You just have to count right. And then he finally beats her at the game.
He does. Yeah. Yeah. He impressed her with that. You could tell. She impressed him when they first got together because she started speaking Japanese. He said, can you speak Japanese? And she said whatever she said. And he gets this look like, okay, I'm impressed with you. And then she gave him the look back right here because she sees, and she's always known, but I think it was reiterated that Joe is really smart and he's a quick study. And she was like, okay. And I thought that was a really important scene.
So then they get down to the real nitty gritty. Cameron asks, why are you here? And Joe says, you know why? And she says, no, tell me. So she needs him to communicate with her, not just like let it be all assumed. And he says, I came to see you. I came to see you. And she says, we shouldn't be up here. It's late and I have to leave early tomorrow morning. And Joe says, maybe we should call it a night. And then there's like an almost kiss illusion type scene of them together. And then they're really together.
Yeah, they were still talking about how they needed to go their separate ways as they were flashing forward and then back to the present of what was about to go on. I loved that scene.
There was a quick flash of a scene of them like being together. And then it was like back to being out on the ledge, out on the roof.
Right, right.
And then it was real. I mean, she picks up the Japan Air tickets in the morning and leaves, so we know their night was real.
Yes, definitely.
All right, so here's where Joni and Gordon are kind of back to normal father and daughter. Joni eats her Captain Crunch for breakfast, and Gordon's there with her, and they're super friendly. She like reaches over and grabs a piece of his bacon, so much for being vegetarian.
That was funny, too.
And then here's where Gordon struggles to stand up, so I kind of know now that it is getting worse for Gordon. And Joni even says, is it bad this morning? So she knows what's going on with him.
Right. And she's really kind to him there. And she's helping him up the stairs. And I mean, she's not just doing it, but she goes out of her way. She jumps over the back of the couch to get to him, to help him. So you can definitely see, like, the love, too. But when she picks up that bacon and she starts to eat it, and Gordon's like, what? And she makes a comment that I thought was kind of profound for the whole thing, too. She says that she can't commit to a label. People aren't just one thing. And I loved that, although in this context, it was kind of like an eye roll. But I loved that. And I also loved how Gordon accepted that. He's like, yeah, you're right. You know, people aren't just one thing. So I thought that was pretty good.
So trouble ahead for Gordon, Michelle, some serious health trouble. I wonder why they have such a hard time accelerating that or killing him off, because it seems like he's definitely had, and it might have ended. I mean, they didn't know till right before, you know, they knew when they wrote this that, or they didn't know anything when they wrote this. So they would have left it like this, that he's just kind of fading.
Right. I don't know.
So the marriage faded, mutiny faded, and Gordon's kind of fading. There's no definitive chop at the end of it. Like, okay, this is what happened.
Right.
Except for Ryan, I guess. But so Cameron now goes to Donna and says, working with you is the most fun I ever had in my life. And Donna says, I picked up the phone so many times. Cameron says, but you never called. Kind of, she's calling her on the same stuff she called Joe on. I need you to tell me what you're thinking, not just hope I understand it.
Right.
So Donna says, I'm here now. Did you read the idea? And Cameron says, he never showed it to me. What was it? So you're right. That idea never left the fax machine.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because then we see Joe go back into his dreary, dark. And this, several scenes that were almost like a sepia or something covering to the scenes. But he goes back into his dreary house. And it's dark, and his office is right there, and it looks small. It's certainly different than the place he had where Ryan killed himself. And that's when he picks up the fags and reads it.
But the place is dark, but the music betrays that it's hopeful and expectant. It's like really hopeful, that undercurrent of expecting, you know, like good things are about to happen music.
Well, as he picks it up and it says World Wide Web.
Yeah, an abstract of how the World Wide Web works. And we find out in the next episode what that's all about. But it's a very upbeat ending, I thought, even in Joe's dark lair of its, you know, gloomy apartment.
Absolutely.
All right, Michelle, so that's 309 NIM.
Yep.
Do you want to stick around and do 310?
Sure.